You're listening to Hemp Rock Radio with the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, with Colonel Cannabis and Roland A. Doobie.
The murderers keep murdering, the churches keep a burning, the rapists keep a raping, and the tide ain't turning. Of course, them for all your power, things get worse every hour. It seems to me your energy's all wasted, chasing my friends and me. So hey, Uncle Sam, hey there, Uncle Sam. Terrorizing, our leaders keep a lying, the haters keep a hating, and the planet's dying. Uncle Sam, do what's proper, call off your dogs and your helicopters. The problems of society were not caused by my friends and me.
Hemp Rock Radio, as a member of the WEED Radio Network, serves only to air responsible divergent points of view. Hemp Rock Radio does endorse some candidates or groups of candidates for public office. The opinions expressed during this program reflect the views and opinions of Hemp Rock Radio or the views of our guests. Hemp Rock Radio may air material that's offensive or unsuitable to some listeners. If you're one of those listeners, please tune away now. Smoke a joint, and then return to Hemp Rock Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the first edition of the new Hemp Rock Radio on the WEED Radio Network. And I am the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, sitting next to Colonel Cannabis, my co-host and engineer. And if you don't know what this show is, you're on the wrong website, number one, since this is a internet radio show. And but Hemp Rock Radio was on for 7 years through 2000 in the Cincinnati area, and we are now launching it once again on the internet on hemprock.com. So we thank you for joining us and listening. The show, this first one kicking off the new Hemp Rock Radio on the web. We're going to be covering different topics tonight. Some of it is going to be what Hemp Rock does and in its history and some of the events that it does, events that we have coming up, and, of course, what is going on in Cincinnati coming up. Now, today's date is March 19th. That's when we're recording this show. And a week from Tuesday the 20th, a week from tomorrow, actually, from our perspective. I don't know when you're listening to this show. But the Cincinnati City Council Law Committee will be meeting 1 week from tomorrow. That would be the 27th of March, folks. So it doesn't matter when you're listening. It's the 27th of March. They are going to meet, and they will be discussing whether or not to vote back into law an ordinance that had a one-year sunset. That law, folks, took the Ohio Decrim laws, which have been on the books in Ohio since the early 70s, the decriminalization of possession of marijuana, to be more precise, of which you get a payout ticket. In Cincinnati, they've taken that away for 1 year. It took effect March 29th of last year, 2006. It sunsets March 29th next week this year. And what we're going to be discussing later in the show is, was that law effective? Did it make the situation worse in Cincinnati because they claimed this new law that they had to get rid of our decrim and make it a $250 fine potentially and up to 30 days in jail? And being arrested, no payout tickets, you had to be arrested. They claimed that that was going to help get guns off the street and lower the murder rate and the violence rates here in Cincinnati area. And so what we're going to discuss later on the show is what their lies were to begin with, how it has now affected the city, and how and whether or not it has helped bring violence rates down in Cincinnati. As I said, that will be the second half of the show. In the beginning of the show here, we are going to go over some things that are happening. Number one is, let's get ready, everybody. The Global Marijuana March is coming up May 5th here in Cincinnati and around the world. You can go to cures-not-wars.org and find out where it is in your area and if it's in a city near you or the city that you live in, because it's in almost 300 cities around the world. I think you can also go to globalmarijuanamarch.org and get that information as well. You'll see Cincinnati listed. And that, again, is May 5th or somewhere around that date, 4th, 5th, or 6th in some cities. Here in Cincinnati, we're doing May 5th, Saturday. And Colonel Cannabis, we're working on this together. You're securing the Hamilton County Courthouse steps for us, correct?
Well, hopefully the steps are secure by the concrete that's down there. But, yes, we'll be protesting and marching from the steps at the Hamilton County Courthouse. Around the back towards the east is where they have the Justice Center, the lockup, where a lot of the drug war prisoners of war are taken when they are arrested in Cincinnati now for what used to be a write-out ticket.
Absolutely. Now, while we have him on the microphone, as I said, this is Colonel Cannabis.
Colonel Cannabis with the 1st Platoon Pot Patriots of the Reefer Rangers, the Marijuana Militia. We do a lot more than just protest for your rights, especially when it comes down to it, because it is a drug war, and those people on the other side have guns and want to do nasty things to you. And as is shown by the politicians, they want to increase police powers and take your rights and freedoms away from you.
Absolutely. And, of course, now you've been active since the early days of the 90s. You've ran for city council under the Libertarian ticket and various
city
things
council,
like that.
State rep, a lot of things, and a lot of other issues too. The idea of marijuana prohibition just cuts right to the heart of personal freedoms. When you can be asked to provide bodily fluids and everything else to get a job, to be able to drive a car, and we're not talking about any actions or anybody violating anybody else's rights, just simply by you being exposed to this substance, that we can throw you in jail, we can take your house from you, we can do, you know, the drug war is horrible, and we you know, just don't get off on a tangent, but we don't take murderers' house, we don't take rapists'
house. You know, if somebody, as far as I know, killed somebody with a car, I don't think they forfeit the car, do they?
No, unless you can prove that it was an intentional act, you know, murder by car, you can be just stupid and have run somebody over. You get vehicular manslaughter, and it's crazy that the whole thing here with the recent DUI check points over St. Patrick's Day, where they pulled 200 cars over, they got one vehicle for DUI, and they got, I believe, 20 for seatbelt violations. And, you know, when we look at this, this is another thing, is the whole law here. What we found out is it was a way to increase the numbers, and it was a way for it to make some short-term cash, and also to make it look like we need a bigger jail, because there's no room at the inn. We can't figure out why. We keep throwing in all these nonviolent criminals, and we have no room for the guys that are causing the problems on the street. And the marijuana militia is here to stand up against that kind of bullshit. And when you hear the words from the city councilman later on in the show of what this was supposed to do a year later, I hope they choke on their words.
Well, you know, I believe the blood's on their hand.
It really is. We have seen the shootings in Westchester and other places, and you know the amount of violence that is happening in the city. I mean, you know, you don't have to listen to us. You don't have to listen to the news or your rabbi or anybody. You know it yourself. Cincinnati and the surrounding area has just become a cesspool of violence, targeted and random, drive-by shootings, fly-by bullets. You know, and you know, Cincinnati always has been 10 years behind the time. I mean, once this goes, where are we going to go? There's no other place we can.
It's a downhill slope.
Yeah, this is it. This is Samuel Clemens, better known as Mark Twain, said. You know, I'd rather, you know, on the whole, I'd be in Cincinnati, and when I die, goes over 10 years behind the time when the world came to an end. Rather be in Cincinnati. Well, we really have been, and this is the kind of thing that's happened across the country where. You know, street gangs and cops are engaged in these battles over what really is a political idea when it comes to marijuana. As the opening song says, you know, pot smokers are not causing the problems that are out here. And there's tons out there. We don't want to get into it all in one show. But
yeah,
folks,
we could really cover a lot.
The pot smokers are not. It's just that simple. The pot smokers are not
Absolutely.
The problem, folks, not the problem.
Well, speaking of that opening song, that was The Toys with Hey Uncle Sam, Leave Us Pot Smokers Alone. And I'll tell you, I'm saying Cecil Thomas, Leave Us Pot Smokers Alone. And that goes out to him, that opening song with the opening cuts on it. Of course, as I said in the beginning of the show, this is Hemp Rock Radio, a member of the WEED Radio Network, and I'm the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, sitting here with Colonel Cannabis. Now, real quick, you know, Hemp Rock started in 1991 as a branch out for me anyway, after I was working with Gatewood Galbraith when he ran for governor the first time in the state of Kentucky, and we'll touch on what he's doing right now here in a few minutes, but that's where I started, was with Gatewood. And I still support Gatewood today. And started out with deciding that I wanted to do something and push forward the part of the movement that I was involved in, not only with marijuana law reform, but drug war law reform, or drug law reform, the drug war itself. And so I started Hemp Rock Productions, which we put on Hemp Fest, or now the Global Marijuana March. We also do a local private event. Well, it's here in the local area, but this is a regional event. We have people coming from around the country, numerous different activist organizations, and people coming in just to enjoy time. This is the Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble, and that takes place once a year in the fall during harvest time, of course. And but, you know, that is a private event. The only way that you can find out about it is, of course, to get on the Hemp Rock mailing list. And you can do that here on the website, hemprock.com. Without doing that, you can email me, hemptress@hemprock.com. Now, I definitely want to give a shout out to a couple of different things for the sponsorship for that event. That was Hustler and Hemptations locally here in Cincinnati. Randy's Rolling Papers, and who am I forgetting? Burndum Glass. Local glassblower boys. They're great.
And if you haven't checked out the papers, they're the new clear ones that...
Absolutely. Those are from Randy's.com. Yes. Glass papers. You can get those over at Hemptations as well. You know, these. I don't know how many people out there listening know about the clear 100% cellulose rolling papers. Now, folks, there's many brands out there. But our sponsor, of course, is Glass, so we're going to encourage you to get those. They're all cool. They even have blunt sizes, but this is made out of eucalyptus, and down in Brazil, it's completely natural. You can see your marijuana while you smoke it. It's kind of neat. So check them out if you guys haven't found the new clear papers. They are the rage on the West Coast, let me tell you. But anyway, so the band, of course, that played that night at the Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble is a band called Noctiluca. We're going to get to their song in a few minutes. I do, though, want to go right back very quickly to the GMM, the Global Marijuana March this year. As the Colonel said, we're doing a couple of hours on the Hamilton County Courthouse steps. After that, we will be marching on the sidewalk, folks, over to the Hamilton County Justice Center.
Not a long march.
Not a long march, and one block.
And not long speeches either. And we have some music, I believe, by a...
We're trying to secure the Rumpke Mountain Boys. Now, I know they're playing Mad Frog that night, but we're going to try to get them for the daytime rally and possibly even for the Hemp Rock fundraiser, which, as I was saying, you know, that's going to be in the afternoon on the courthouse steps. In the evening, we'll be kicking off a Hemp Rock music fundraiser with some local bands and maybe even a regional act or two. We're not sure yet. And that's where we'll be. The products will be sold as far as T-shirts from the organizations such as North Ohio Normal. We have Ohio Patient Network come in. MJ Action Network comes in. We also have an organization, WONPR. That's the Women's Organization for National Prohibition Reform. Did I say that correctly? I think so. Those are just a handful of the organizations that come out to the different events, especially the Global Marijuana March. You definitely want to get information about that. That, again, is May 5th here in Cincinnati on the Hamilton County Courthouse steps. We'll get more information as we get the details, but I do want to give a shout-out, of course, to the sponsors so far for that event. One of our main sponsors that we've had, and I am so very proud to say this, as far as I know, Colonel, we are the only organization that Hustler puts their name on as a sponsor in the drug war community. Now, I could be wrong. If there's somebody else out there, please let me know. But Hustler Hollywood Stores here in Monroe, Ohio, and downtown Cincinnati, Ohio, are a sponsor for the GMM here.
Unless he's doing something, unless they're doing something on the West Coast, I believe, especially in this area.
I don't know of anything, though. I don't know of anything. So I'm very proud. Even if they have somebody else that they sponsor, I'm very proud to be sponsored by the Hustler Stores. And that shout goes out to Jimmy Flint for that. The numbers for the stores in Cincy is 513-421-3769. The Monroe, Ohio store's number is 513-539-6969. Imagine that at the Hustler stores. And I'm also very proud to say that we have a new sponsor on board. It is detoxforless.com.
Detoxforless.com.
Absolutely. They are a local distributor for products to help you clean your pee. Clean your pee, folks.
You see what the drug war has brought? This is all from Uncle Sam. These are the things.
What
that
a great uncle.
Teaching.
He's like molesting
you know,
the entire
country.
You know,
I mean, there have been people out there that would have had to get jobs at, you know, I don't know, P&G or GE. But, no, they're making synthetic and
they're making the poisons.
Synthetic, yeah. But now we've got people out there making your own personal piss.
Yeah.
Or your secondary personal piss. Yeah. This is wonderful. The government is really spurring on employment in areas I'm sure it had no idea that it was getting into. And folks, there again, if you want to call the Hemp Rock hotline, any of you out there that need to get through a drug test,
or send us an email.
Yeah, we can go through and you know the Colonel and a lot of the marijuana militia. We're talking from experience here, folks.
Absolutely.
This is from the front lines. This is not something out of a book. We've been there, and we can tell you just how bullshit these bullshit tests are, and how to beat them at their own game. So
absolutely. To get some information, though, through us, if you want to just talk to us about the different products that we know about and the different things that you can do, or any other reasons, we even have lawyer referrals, things like that. Either email us, or if you can't get to your computer to email us, you can go to the Hemp Rock Hemp line at 513-684-HEMP and get in contact with us. That also can get you on the Hemp Rock list.
And that was detoxforless.com.
And the new sponsor. Absolutely. And let me tell you, I went and checked their site out the other day. They carry a lot of different products, including the test kits that you can use to test yourself. And I highly recommend anybody that is going to have any kind of a test done for whether it be probation or a job, however you're cleaning your system, make sure you're clean first.
A lot of people will call, and then they don't listen to what we say, and they think that they know it all.
Right,
and then they will do it their own way, and then they fail, and then they wonder why. These products and these methods are not idiot-proof. They do need a little time to work. But we can get you through just about anything, but you have to believe us and you have to walk with us on this. We've been there, like I said, this is from the front lines.
Absolutely.
This company has some of the very finest products on the market today.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the top ones that they sell is the Quick Fix Fake Urine. And I have a friend that just landed a job this past week. I guess I shouldn't say what the job is in case their boss is listening, but they landed a $35,000 a year job.
It was Simon Lease's personal assistant, wasn't that, I think, was his job? I think it was Simon Lease's personal assistant out there.
I hope so. I hope so. Anyway, you can also call them on the phone at 1-877-420-DETOX. That's 877-420-DETOX or detoxforless.com, and get a hold of our sponsor and if you need those products. Or just some information. They have consulting and everything. Matter of fact, it's very funny, Colonel. I was reading on the website where it was discussing their guarantees and stuff, and it says all products tested by employees or something like that, by their employees. And I'm like going, uh-huh, uh-huh, and just how are the employees testing these products? I want to know. But, you know, I plan on doing an experiment and getting a few of the different products and testing them on myself and then testing myself to see which one works the best.
Yeah, now the Colonel here, has used various products and various methods, and like I said, I can speak personally on those. Now, we haven't tried every single one. We encourage, like I said, there are ways to walk through it. And we just, like I said, want to talk to the people. You know, the best thing is information and knowledge is power, folks.
Absolutely.
So, you know your rights and know what you can do to beat the bastards at their own game. And that's pretty much it. I mean, folks, you know, the cost of drugs in most cases, with the exception of marijuana, have gone down and the purity has gone up. So the drug war is an abject failure. But they'll tell you that.
Failure.
But they'll tell you that every year millions upon millions and tens of millions of people are being drug tested and the results are going down. All that means, folks, is that people are learning on how to beat the test.
Exactly. So now, real quickly, the other couple of sponsors that we have, of course, is Hemptations over at O'Brienville on Madison Road. You can contact them at 513-871-HEMP. And probably get Garrett or one of the other boys. Tell him Hemp Rock sent you. And another one who has a brand new store. Now, this guy used to have a little shop over in Richwood Flea Market in the booth section. And, of course, if you don't live in the area, I believe it was the torrential rains that we had and the storms last year kind of tore the roof off and kind of ruined the flea market over there. And so Hippie Bob's has moved into a new storefront in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, folks.
And I believe the store has a back also. So a front, a back, a couple sides,
it does
and probably
have
a roof.
Absolutely. So we want to give a shout-out and say yay for Hippie Bob and their new store in Lawrenceburg. And those are the four sponsors for the GMM. Again, that's Hustler Hollywood Stores, Monroe, Cincinnati, the Temptations over in O'Brienville.
So that's Lawrenceburg in Indiana, right? So I mean,
we've got all sides covered.
You can stop there and get your hemp accessories, get your fireworks,
that's
your
right.
Liquor water,
go
and
up to Hustler, get your other sexual toys.
And you got gambling,
and sex, drugs, and rock and roll. What more do you want from Hemp Rock? I'll tell you. And again, the newest one, and we're very proud to say we're adding the detoxforless.com. Again, that's May 5th, the Global Marijuana March, and I want to give a shout-out to Dana Beal, the guy who is the leader of this in New York. He has started this back in the 90s, I believe. Probably, he would say, even 30 years ago.
Is he still running for president? I have the album cover, Dana Beal for president.
You know, I don't know, but Doug Stanhope is. Okay. Comedian Doug Stanhope, we'll give a shout-out to Doug right now, is running on the Libertarian ticket for president of the United States.
Well, you know, politics is such a joke. What better than a comedian
exactly.
to run for it?
Exactly. And so anyway, you can get all the information on that here on HempRock.com and HempRock Radio, as well as the HempRock Hemp Line, 513-684-HEMP. Again, we'll be at Hamilton County Courthouse for a couple hours in the afternoon, and then a HempRock fundraiser music festival in Miami Town at the Riverfront West Sports Park.
It's 420 on the courthouse. 420 on the courthouse steps.
Probably even before that, but there will definitely be a 420. So just stay tuned. We'll get some information out to everybody as we get those details narrowed down. Now, I don't want to forget anything. Let's see.
I haven't learned everything to forget.
I do want to give a shout out to somebody special in our lives of the hemp community anyway. I want to give make sure that everybody knows that every chance they get, go to jackherr.com. That's jackherr, H-E-R-E-R.com. He wrote the book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, and if it weren't for that, we wouldn't be sitting here.
He literally wrote the book, folks.
He literally wrote the book. Find out why hemp can save the world at jackherr.com. I think you can also find him on MySpace at jackherr, MySpace/
And he still has the bond money up if you can prove what he says
$100,000.
$100,000.
Absolutely.
It's not a small chunk of change.
Prove one thing he says in the book wrong and you can win $100,000. But I have to say this. I get this a lot, and I tell people all the time, if you want to know how he pronounces his name, you can call him and ask him. It's Herr, like terror, yeah. Folks, not hurrah, and not all the other things that people in the hemp community or in the movement think his name is, and I'm saying it for him now. It is Herr, Jack Herr, folks. He's a terror, let me tell you, and that's why we love him. Okay, moving on, I want to get to some things in the news that is going on, actually, you know, right now. I'll tell you what the news is, what the topics are, and then we'll go to a song and come back and we'll read the news. Number one, we're going to be talking about, I will just say this because I haven't seen a definite. As of Friday, the last thing I saw, the New Mexico governor was about to sign the medical marijuana bill so they could have a medical marijuana program in New Mexico.
And he tried some of the medical marijuana, forgot where he put his pen, and now he can't sign it.
Obviously, because I've not seen anything since. So the word is that he is going to sign it. He's been encouraging the House to pass it, and it has passed the House, and it's a matter of him signing it. So I just have not seen the actual news report saying that he did.
You know, the marijuana could be legal, and I don't think the news media
would
tell us.
Well, this news media will, I'll tell you. So as of this recording of this show, we're not sure, but I would venture to say that by the time you folks are listening, it will have been in the news that he did sign that into law. We will also be covering the Supreme Court, two different cases, one in the Supreme Court, one in the Ninth Circuit Court. One has already been ruled on. It's the Angel Raich case, and whether or not she has a constitutional right to use medical marijuana. And the other case is bong hits for Jesus.
Bong hits for Jesus.
Praise God. I think we have a Supreme Court
just
that supports
think about,
bong
driving,
hits for Jesus.
If you're driving down the road and your local church had that on the sign out in front, you know, not that Jesus paid a bill he didn't owe, but bong hits for Jesus. I'm telling you, I think a few more people be showing up in the pews there.
I personally, and this could be a topic of another show, and I guarantee you there will be a future Hemp Rock show, not only on the topic, but with Jack Herr discussing the topic of whether or not Jesus was a mushroom or a man. I'm kind of on the fence. For me, it really doesn't matter whether he was a mushroom or a man. I still love him. So, except that if he was a mushroom, he can't smoke the bong. So I'm going to have to smoke the bong.
You keep Jesus
in
your freezer, though. So.
Exactly.
And today's newspaper, folks, you can go online. The editorial was very much in the students' favor here. I'm not going to try to even paraphrase it, but Cincinnati Inquirer editorial section, Monday the 19th of March. Check it out. It's in black and white right there. So not often that we get the case that is so clear that even the Cincinnati Inquirer can see the bullshit of it. But
yeah, that's saying a lot for the local paper here, folks. That's definitely saying a lot. Alrighty, we're going to go to a song. As you all know, you're listening, you're the ones that tuned in. This is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, sitting next to Colonel Cannabis.
The marijuana militia.
Absolutely. And this song coming up is called Voodoo Mind, right? Voodoo Mind. I don't want to say it's a Jimi Hendrix song. It is Voodoo Mind. The band is my favorite local Cincinnati band, Noctiluca. Noctaluca, Noctaluca.com. They played the Ohio Valley Reefer Rumble last year. Their other two bands, their sister bands, two of the guys in Noctaluca, Brandon and Donovan, are or have been in a band called Ohms. who was before that, without them, the Four Ohms, if anybody knows the history of the music here in Cincinnati. Brian and Donovan have also been a part of the Black and Tan Carpet Band, which may, I think, still do some gigs. Both the Ohms and, I believe, Black and Tan Carpet Band's website are both still up. You can go check them out. But now they've joined up with Jason Ludwig and Jay Aronoff, and they are Noctiluca. They are the shit in Cincinnati music as far as I'm concerned. And the song coming up is Voodoo Mind, and I'm going to dedicate this to all the people that went to D.C. to the Pentagon Saturday on St. Patrick's Day, this past Saturday, the 17th. They went and they raised and levitated the Pentagon. I got the inside scoop today from Chris the Anarchist in Columbus, who does the Columbus, Ohio Global Marijuana March. He went to the levitation, and they did indeed, folks, raise the Pentagon in protest of the Iraqi war. And this song I dedicate to all the folks that made it to the Pentagon on Saturday. This is Noctiluca with Voodoo Mind.
I'm not fighting your fucking war. When the bones fall,
estamos a punto.
right. That was Noctiluca with Voodoo Mind. And as I said before, that does go out to those folks who did go levitate the Pentagon on March 17th in D.C.
And once they headed up in the air, they should have dropped it in the Potomac.
Yeah, no doubt.
They've been polluting the water, though.
Yeah, no doubt. Why give dirty stuff to the fish and make them all contaminated with those people at the Pentagon? Of course, this is Hemp Rock Radio. I am the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, and he is Colonel Cannabis. And Hemp Rock Radio, of course, is a member of the WEED Radio Network. And we're going to go on to some news and then some discussion. As I said earlier, we will be discussing the local Cincinnati ordinance. We want to get to that, explain to everybody what we need you to do to help us stop them, those city council people, from doing the wrong thing. But I do want to get started with a little bit of a positive story. This is out of the February Rolling Stone. This is about David Crosby, of course, from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It's entitled, Since Then, How I Survived Everything and Lived to Tell About It, by David Crosby and Carl Gottlieb. David Crosby's second autobiography, which takes up in 1988, where his previous book left off, is a cautionary tale about the toll 30 years of rock and roll can inflict upon one's body, family, friends, and bank account. With incredible candor, Cros describes his numerous health problems, liver failure, hepatitis C, diabetes, cardiomyopathy, and bankruptcy. He says, I was in my 50s before I started signing my own checks. Why he carried a loaded gun until his 2004 arrest? And he says, I thought something was coming that would take society and blow it apart. If something happens while I'm on the road, I'm going to need this fucker to get home. And his decision to father Melissa Etheridge's two children. He says, I felt love was more important than who had which kind of plumbing. Co-written by Jaws screenwriter Carl Gottlieb, the book occasionally veers into rants about politics and the state of the music industry. But when its focus, the notoriously prickly Crosby, comes off as an unexpectedly sympathetic character, even when providing unorthodox advice to his 9-year-old son. Later in life, if you want to try marijuana, smoke with me. I've got better pot. Yeah, David Crosby still smokes pot. And guess what, folks? It won't kill his liver like the alcohol and all the drugs did that he did.
Well, you know, that's the one thing about the legal drugs. You know, we're not going to go off too much on a tangent here, folks, but there's not one single medical study. When people shove this stuff down their throat, you can ask them, what study are you referring to? It wouldn't happen to be that famous Costa Rican study that's been going on for 30 or maybe 40 years
that
now.
That marijuana helps people live longer?
And reduces stress. And if you don't know what that is, do type it in. And folks, and don't believe what we're saying is gospel of fact. Look it up yourself. We're not here to indoctrinate or propagate, propagandize. We're just here to spread the message, but we want you to look it up yourself. We're not here to force this down your throat or to convince you of anything. We're just here to give you the information. So, you know, alcohol is a nasty, nasty drug. It destroys body parts. You know, cigarette smoking, you know, is a nasty habit. It causes and helps influence cancer. Marijuana by itself, hey, I'm a living specimen. 30 plus years.
33, almost 34 for me.
And being in shape as we are in the marijuana militia, have great lung capacity. We stay fit, and that helps for a lot of things.
You know, no, I smoked cigarettes for 25 years, and marijuana is was the medicine that helped me quit the highly addictive, deadly tobacco, folks.
Well, it does help the psychological part of having something to do with your hands. Plus, it is a bronchial dilator. It opens those air passages back up. It cleans that junk
helps
out.
Helps you cough that junk up.
It gets it out
but
of your
But you're right. It is the hand-to-mouth thing. Part of the addiction to tobacco is not only the physical addiction, but it is definitely the hand-to-mouth brain addiction. The way I combated that was with a what is known as a one-hitter, where it looks, you can even get them that look like a cigarette. You can even get glass ones now that look like cigarettes, folks, and those are the best ones. You don't want to smoke aluminum if you can help it. But even any of the glass ones, it doesn't matter. If you use it like a cigarette, and every time you want to hit a cigarette, you take a little hit of the marijuana instead, not only will that relieve the stress on the body that is wanting the tobacco, it relieves that stress. It also relieves that hand-to-mouth habit. Okay. It worked for me. I smoked for 25 years.
And you don't get that singed taste. I mean, you know, sometimes...
or smell crappy like tobacco.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Is that every hit off that weed, you get that good taste. So if you got the blueberry...
Exactly.
Or whatever.
Lemons are my favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. It's much, much better than tobacco. Well, moving forward, I do want to talk about this. To get the full story, of course, you can go to angeljustice.org. And get the full story. I'm going to read just a little bit of this. This is from, as a matter of fact, it's titled Reefer Madness. This is by Randy Barnett. On March 14, 2007, Angel Raich lost her constitution right to life in a shocking decision from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out of San Francisco. On Wednesday, March 14th, the Ninth Circuit turned away another constitutional challenge to the federal ban on using cannabis for medical purposes. Its decision revealed a glaring weakness in how the Supreme Court protects liberty under the Constitution. Angel Raich is a seriously ill 41-year-old mother of two who in 2002 sought an injunction allowing her to use cannabis to alleviate intense pain and relief from a life-threatening wasting syndrome. She prevailed in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, but the Supreme Court in 2005 rejected her argument that the application of the Federal Controlled Substances Act, the CSA, to the personal cultivation, possession, and use of state-authorized cannabis for medical purposes was unconstitutional because it exceeded the power of Congress to regulate commerce among the several states. Justice O'Connor and Thomas, joined by Chief Justice Rehnquist, passionately dissented. On remand, Mrs. Raich renewed her alternate theory that the CSAs, that's the Federal Controlled Substances Act, complete ban on the medical use of cannabis, also violated her fundamental right to preserve her life, as protected by the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. This week, the Ninth Circuit rejected this claim, but held out some hope that if criminally prosecuted, Ms. Raich qualified for the defense of necessity. So that is where the Ninth Circuit has left it. It's almost as if they've given the availability of medical defense.
A little bit. But a lot of that, though, still is your defense should be the Constitution. The Constitution
it should be. That's
does
right.
not give the government that power, folks. That's the Constitution is like the rules of Monopoly or Clue or any other game. You know, it limits what you can do in the game. You have to roll the dice. You just can't pass go without collecting your $200. What Congress has set up and what the government has set up is to turn this all on our heads. The whole idea of using the Commerce Clause, that was put in there so that the federal government would allow trade. So if Michigan wanted to trade with Kentucky, for instance, but Ohio wanted to stop that Michigan should be allowed to ship their products through Ohio into Kentucky. It was never construed as stopping commerce. Congress had looked at it and it said that if you're growing food or wheat or peanuts in your own backyard, that means you wouldn't have to go to the store. You would have to feed your horse with that, so that affects, you know, commerce, because a farmer isn't going to sell another bag. This was never the way it was supposed to be set up. And the idea that just the absurdity of somebody that is a terminal patient, a medical patient. I mean, the only defense could possibly be, my doctor said so. Not that I believe that you even need a doctor to take
exactly.
care of yourself. I mean, you know, but this is what Congress has brought it down. And, you know, folks, if they can do it with something like this, imagine if it was your kid, your grandmother, your mother, mm-hmm. your spouse that has this disease. And I'm telling you, folks, it is way too late, as these people are finding out, to have to fight these kind of battles. I mean, you talk about a hero. Think about the suffering from this disease and still going through and having to fight this fight and winning and then just having to keep fighting over and over. You know, it's not the government can fight this. They have almost unlimited amount. You're fighting, you know, the government with your own money, and they're using your own money against you.
You're right. That's the problem with it. They use our money against ourselves. You know, and here's the question. We don't have a right to life, and we don't have a right to death either. You know, the rulings have always said that, you know, in most states anyway, I don't even think it's actually gone to the Supreme Court yet, whether or not somebody has the right to die.
Not by your own hand. Unless it was.
And you can't make yourself feel better by your own hand either. So where does the law draw the line that the government, whether it's the feds or the local Cincinnati police, have in telling me what I can do with my damn
you
body.
That's called, I'm going to violate your speech. You shouldn't be able to say that kind of stuff. It caused too many problems. don't look behind that curtain.
Yeah,
know?
let's move on to the next story, of
we
course.
We got talking about the...
Yeah, about First Amendment right. stuff, exactly. This is big in the news right now.
We got bong hits for Jesus. Again, in the Cincinnati Inquirer today, the 19th of March, 07, Monday, go look up the editorial on it. They've got some good words. Bong hits for Jesus banner brings duo to D.C. This is from Bill Harlan of the Rapid City Journal staff. Rapid City is the byline here. Two Stevens High School seniors who showed up for class last fall wearing T-shirts supporting medical marijuana are headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Rapid City Stevens High School students David Valenzuela and Chris Fuentes will address a free speech rally Monday on the steps of the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. The two will be speaking as the High Court prepares to hear a free speech case that addresses the suspension of an Alaska student who displayed a banner, quote, bong hits for Jesus at a school outing. David and Chris Fuentes, both 18, don't have a case before the High Court. In fact, they won't even go inside. Probably the safest thing.
They're probably safer.
You possibly do. The two students will, however, address a free speech rally Monday on the court's front steps. Students are the future generations of America, so I think we have a big say in this kind of thing, Fuentes said Friday in an interview after school. Their expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. comes courtesy of Students for Sensible Drug Policy, which has 100 chapters nationwide, including one in the local Greater Cincinnati area. The group's rally coincides with oral arguments Monday morning in a case before the Supreme Court. The court will consider whether Alaska student Joseph Frederick's free speech rights were violated in 2002. Frederick's school suspended him for displaying the, quote, bong hits for Jesus banner at a school outing to the Olympic torch parade. School officials said the banner violated a policy against advocating illegal acts. Defending the Alaska school will be none other than Kenneth Starr, the former special prosecutor who investigated President Clinton. Students for Sensible Drug Policy filed a friend of the court brief supporting Frederick's. A paragraph in the 30-page brief tells the story of Valenzuela and Fuentes in their controversial T-shirts, which argued support last year's initiated measure to legalize medical marijuana. We're at the Supreme Court for banners and T-shirts. It's crazy, folks. Their T-shirts, the measure was rejected November 7th. A few days before, the school officials rejected the T-shirts, forcing the two students to change their clothes and threatening to suspend them. Rapid City School Superintendent Peter Wartson said at the time that the shirt's political message wasn't the problem. The problem was the picture of the large marijuana leaf on the front of the shirt. I would say you had to take that up with the leaf's manufacturer. It's grown in nature. God,
yeah.
You have to pick it up. But the Rapid City School also forbids clothing promoting drugs, alcohol, or tobacco. The two students argued that they weren't promoting illegal drug use and that the marijuana leaves were political speech. Wharton calls that argument absurd. Well, we could call them all kind of names here, but we won't. Now, Wharton's comment, originally made to Rapid City Journal, is part of the Supreme Court's record in the Alaska case. Quote, we think that it was blatantly unconstitutional. Students for Sensible Drug Policy spokesman Tom Angel said. He monitors such cases from the group's Washington's headquarters. Weeks ago, Earl called Valenzuela mother to offer her son and his friend first-class airline tickets to Washington, D.C. We were jumping up and down, hugging each other, Fuente said. Both seniors said that their notoriety has made them more aware of their First Amendment issues, but neither is headed for a political career. Fuentes hopes to become a tattoo artist. Valenzuela hopes to enroll at a job corps in Nemo. He wants to be a firefighter. The two seniors will take a day off from school Monday for the Supreme Court rally, but Fuentes will get credit in history for writing a paper about the trip. Valenzuela cited another reward. What we did helped another kid. Now it's going to affect the whole nation, and I feel pretty proud about that.
Yeah, I'm really proud of these guys. And leading into this next story, of course, this morning, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, the SSDP, and the DPA, Drug Policy Alliance, organized a protest at the Supreme Court during the Bong Hits for Jesus oral arguments. They flew in high school students from around the country, including two from South Dakota, who had been suspended for wearing T-shirts supporting last year's medical marijuana initiatives. Of course, that is who the colonel just mentioned. In order to demonstrate support for students' free speech rights concerning drug policy issues. In addition to these students and their local contacts, a number of high schoolers visiting the Supreme Court on field trips joined in the demonstration with them. Now, this story was on NBCNews.com, CBSNews.com, MSNBC. There's you can go to FoxNews.com and do a search on their page for video high court. And you can see that protest on what they did. Now, of course, we're going to go over very quickly what this case is, more in detail, other than what the colonel just read. A few years ago in Alaska, during the Winter Olympics, a young student, although it was during school hours, it was off campus, and they did claim that it was a school function. They shut the school down and said, we're going to go over here and watch the parade for the Winter Olympics with the torch going by. So according to the school, it was a school-sanctioned event, but the boy hung out bong hits for Jesus. And they have a rule at this high school that you cannot do anything that is disturbing or disruptive, rather, during a school function, especially if it has anything to do with that is against their rules of what they support, and they support the laws against drugs, all the drug laws and the drug war. So therefore, the students are not allowed to say anything against that because it's disruptive as far as they're concerned. So he got suspended. His family sued, and the courts gave it to the kid. Yeah. He won.
The banner was basically fictitious. It was not a serious thing. He was just coming up with stuff that was going to be bizarre. You always see the John 3:16 guy
exactly.
with the rainbow hair. He just wanted to do something like that, something crazy, hey, mom, see me on TV type of thing.
Yes, but he was also, in his mind, it was about legalization.
Yes, but I mean, he was just trying to make a stir. It was
An artistic statement with freedom of speech about the laws put in that perspective as an art.
Right.
Because if it's illegal, Jesus can't smoke it either.
Right. And he was just standing there. He wasn't
holding the banner.
He was just standing
right
there holding the banner.
Exactly. So now I'm going to take a few minutes. I'm not going to, of course, read the 71 pages of the oral arguments from today. I do want to read a little bit of a brief over this just to give you an idea of what's going on. We're not sure when this ruling is going to come down from the Supreme Court. I certainly hope that they rule in favor. As I said, the kid won in the lower courts. The principal and the school appealed, and that's how it's gone up to the Supreme Court. Let's see. Now, remember, in the article that the colonel just read, Kenneth Starr is the attorney for the school and the principal. And this is the oral argument on behalf of the petitioners. This is Ken Starr speaking. Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, illegal drugs and the glorification of the drug culture are profoundly serious problems for our nation. Congress has so recognized, as has this court time and again. The magnitude of the problem is captured in the amicus brief. The court has a number of amicus briefs before it, but the amicus brief of General McCaffrey, Secretary Bennett, and a number of organizations. Now, I have to stop. We know that General McCaffrey was full of crap, and we know that Secretary Bennett was full of crap and a drunk. That is, of course, he used to be our drug czar. Both of them were former drug czars in this country, if you don't know who those guys were. And it goes on, and particularly pages 5 and 9 of that brief, the nature and the scope of the problem are well captured. Justice Kennedy says, well, is this case limited to signs about drugs? What is the rule that you want us to adopt for deciding this case, Mr. Starr? The rule of the court that it articulated in Tinker. Tinker is a case from 1969 in Des Moines, Iowa, where the Supreme Court's decision upheld the right of students to express themselves so long as the speech doesn't pose a threat of substantial disruption. The High Court overturned the suspensions of some Iowa students who had worn black armbands to protest the Vietnam War. The rule of the court as articulated in Tinker, is that there is, in fact, a right to political speech subject to disruption requirements that the speech not be disruptive. In other words, if it's not disruptive, it's First Amendment. If it's disruptive, it isn't, is what I'm assuming. Justice Kennedy says, disruptive of what? Disruptive of the classroom order? There is no classroom here. Mr. Starr says, including but not limited to, this was a school-authorized event. This was education outside of the classroom. It was essentially a school simply out of doors. It was essentially, Justice Souter says, well, I can understand if they unfurled the banner in the classroom that it would be disruptive, but what did it disrupt on the sidewalk? Mr. Starr, the educational mission of the school. And I can say, I'm not an attorney, but that right there is a reason to throw this case out. Because the educational mission of the school is not to cram drug laws down our children's throat. Well, lies, lies, lies. Their job is to educate them on how to read and write and add and subtract and multiply and divide.
Well,
that's it.
Even if it was, even if they were not presenting anti-drug information at this time, they were observing the Olympic torch.
Yes.
And everything
the school claims, though, that it was a school outing, that they had, it was like a day off.
Right,
you could go over here instead of class.
Exactly. And as the justices are trying to interpret is, was the student, by unfurling this banner, was he stopping any of the other students?
Was he blocking the
view of other
Nobody
students?
Nobody can see through
so
the banner?
So they couldn't see it? Yeah, they were looking at something like that. I mean, the idea of clothing is that if I am trying to learn 2 + 2 is...
it's like if it was fighting words, it'd be different. If it said, kill the drug law cops or something like that, you know,
and
that would be disruptive.
And you're in a very small spot, like I said, in a classroom
exactly.
of 30 different people. You could see where that could possibly cause a problem. But as the justices are alluding to here,
exactly.
What did this banner stop? Were any of the other students deprived of whatever educational value
exactly.
of this outing was
and
attempted to get.
And he did not do that. That's just the whole point. So Justice Souter goes on to say, no, but I mean, that's at a level of generality that doesn't get us very far. I mean, what specifically did it disrupt? Did it disrupt the parade? Did it disrupt teaching? What was it? Mr. Starr, 5520, a school policy of the board that says emphatically that political speech is protected, embracing Tinker. Justice Souter, then if that's the rule, the school can make any rule that it wants on any subject restrictive of speech. And if anyone violates it, the result is, on your reasoning, it's disruptive under Tinker. Mr. Starr, not at all. I think that in form, and Justice Souter cuts him off, then I'm missing the argument. Mr. Starr says, the argument is that this court in Tinker articulated a rule that allows the school board's considerable discretion both in identifying the educational mission and to prevent disruption of that mission, and this is disruptive of the mission. Yeah, their mission is to propagandize the kids against illegal drugs because they think they're wrong.
Which was a political decision to
exactly.
begin with.
Which gives the child the right to
that
say the opposite.
Questionable, and
that's
in my opinion,
exactly.
zero basis in the Constitution. Because what you need to do is, if we get these kind of people to explain exactly where in the Constitution do you get these kind of powers, and it's just like, if we talked before, it's
yeah. Well, this is what Justice Kennedy then says. Well, suppose you have a mission to have a global school. Can they ban American flags on lapel pins? Mr. Starr, absolutely not, because under Tinker, that is political expression. Let me be very specific. This case is ultimately about drugs and other illegal substances. Justice Ginsburg says, so if the sign had been Bong Stinks for Jesus, that would be, and Morse had the same reaction, another case, they said, they quote, that this was demeaning to the Olympics and it was unruly conduct, that there would be a protected right under Tinker because the message was not promoting drugs? Mr. Starr, he says, she stated in her answers to interrogatories that she may very well not have interfered with the banner had it in fact said legalize marijuana. Under our theory, we think she could have interfered with that because it was disruptive to the event. It was disorderly to the event itself. But the Justice Souter jumps in. What would be disorderly? I don't understand this disorder. If somebody holds up a sign and says, change the marijuana laws, why is it disruptive of anything? Simply because a school quite naturally has said we support the enforcement of the law, and the law right now does forbid the use of marijuana? Mr. Starr says, aye, and that's all he got out. And Justice Souter continues, it's political speech. It seems to me, I don't see what it disrupts, unless disruption simply means any statement of disagreement with a position officially adopted by the school. Is that what you mean by disruption? Mr. Starr says, no, Your Honor. First of all, this is, I think, an unusual characterization, namely for this to be called political speech. We would, and Souter stops him, if it's calling, I mean, and Starr jumps in, we think it's a first. I'm sorry, he says. And Justice Souter says, a call for a change in the law, I would have supposed, was political speech. Mr. Starr says, that wasn't the interpretation, Your Honor. Let's back up, if I may. Someone has to interpret the message, and the frontline message interpreter is a school official. Souter says, well, that may be, but that's not the hypo, or the hypothetical. The hypothetical is, what if there is a sign or a statement in the school calling for a change in, you know, the prohibition against marijuana use? As a call for change in the law, I would suppose it was political speech. But as I understood the argument you were making, it would still be regarded as an exception, as it were, to Tinker, because it was disruptive. And if and it was disruptive in the sense that it disagreed with official school policy, which was to enforce the law or support the law as it was. Is that your position on what disruption means under Tinker? Mr. Starr says, but our, the answer is no. Now, I could go on and on. As I said, this is 71 pages.
And, you know, history might not repeat itself, but it rhymes a lot. And we can go back, whether it is women's suffrage, the right to vote, or the Dred Scott case. I mean, this is the exact same thing. Well, Mr. Scott, you know, you can't be a citizen and have the rights because, well, you're black, and We've already made a law. I mean, it's the same thing. We've made this law, and, you know, you can't, how dare you say anything against it. It's the same stuff. We've made the rules, and we made the catch-22, and you can't get around it.
Right.
Well, folks, just, like I said, it's common sense. You need to hit them back. Where in the Constitution? It's not the Commerce Clause. You know,
It is the Constitution.
It's the Constitution.
And you know, it is blatant.
It does not give the government this power, folks.
Right. And I really hope that our Supreme Court is smart enough, and from what I've read there so far, so good. I'll be honest, I'm quite shocked by this. But at least they're doing the right thing and interpreting it correctly. Because if they rule against the kid and in favor of the appeal for the school, that sets a standard that a school can always suspend or punish a kid for speaking out against their policy just because they set that policy. Now, is that what we want to teach our children, that you're not allowed to speak up against something that you disagree with just because the school made that policy? Isn't that called Nazi Germany, folks?
Well, and especially when we're talking about public schools, what we have here is a de facto extension of the governmental arm.
Exactly.
And the First Amendment is protection from the government power, and to tell you quite truthfully, from the power of the majority, even the right of the minority to be heard, to be able to redress government wrongs. And I would say that passing a law against its citizens for a nonviolent personal act that doesn't involve anybody but that person, would I think some people would want to redress that. And when we have these basically non-governmental organizations, and in this case a pseudo-governmental organization, taking on these powers that can punish. And if you have the power to punish, if you have the power to hurt somebody, to cause harm in their life, I think that is a governmental function, and that the Constitution is fully enforced.
Mm-hmm.
If I have a private home, if I have private property, I can decide what I would allow on it or not, or what I want to hear, but this is not it. It's curious as what would happen if they would have put these words on a flag and then decided to burn the flag. I mean, the flag burning is protected, but was that disruptive? I mean, you know, it's just absolutely crazy here. And what it is it goes to show is that the powerful will try to pick on the weak, and they try to, you know, set examples, because obviously if you can go after a couple high school students, I mean, we're not talking about adults here that can sue back. We went after kids that probably don't even have summer jobs here. And we have Kenneth Starr here. I mean, it's not
enough blowjobs in the White House right now. He's got to take up this case, huh?
You know, it's
well, you know, here's another part of the issue. The issue is just because the school adopts a policy that they say they should because drugs are the scourge of the earth, of course, you know that that's true. Just because they adopt a policy, I, as a parent, if I have a kid in that school, and it's a public school now, private schools, you know, I'm not going to say that they don't have First Amendment rights. I think the case should fall the same. The kid should have a right to say something. But if I put my, if I'm paying the school and it's a private school, you know, I'm expecting certain things. I can expect that at a Catholic school, for instance, they're going to teach the Bible in the morning. If I don't want my kid to learn the Bible, I'm not going to tell the Catholic school, I don't want you to teach my kid the Bible, because that's what they do. Don't
ran,
send them to the public
when
to that,
when
to
I
that
ran
Catholic
for
school.
Office, I can tell you right here, I went to Mother of Mercy and I started talking about the Constitution, and one of the quotes was about the only legal tender being gold and silver, and the teacher didn't know this, and I quoted her the thing, had the Constitution right there, and this young lady stood up and said, well, you can't expect us to listen to a document that's a couple hundred years old. And I went, would you go home and tell your parents that, let's see, okay, we don't need to listen to the Constitution because it's old. The Bible is
2,000
roughly
years
how,
old?
So therefore, since it's an old text and document,
throw it in the trash,
we should,
burn it.
Exactly. I said, I guarantee you, your parents will be up here in the morning wanting to know whether thousands of dollars of educational value is going. So just because something is old has nothing to do with the validity of it.
Exactly.
And ours is the oldest Constitution in the world.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that this school in Alaska and the Supreme Court has to understand that school does not have the right to tell all of the students that they must do it a certain way, because maybe those students' parents disagree with the policy of that school, and they have every right to do that. And that is exactly why the First Amendment is so important. And, you know, I look at it this way. The sign could have said bong hits for Satan, you know. Why couldn't it have said bong hits for Satan? Would he have gotten in trouble for that, too? You know, I jest. The point is, it's First Amendment. As far as I'm concerned, I think Jesus and Satan should sit down and burn one together. Although, I, you know.
And maybe Kenneth Starr and some, a few other ones. I mean.
Yeah, maybe they need to get in on it, too. I don't know. But, okay, we are going to, of course, keep you up to date on this issue as soon as we find out what is going on and what the Supreme Court has ruled. If it's before the next Hemp Rock show, you can, of course, come back to the webpage and find out. Or, of course, you can get a hold of me through email and get on the Hemp Rock email list and get that information. Or even at MySpace/HempRock. We are in MySpace as well. Of course, this is Hemp Rock Radio, a member of the WEED Radio Network, and I'm the Happy Hemptress, voice of the resistance, with my co-host engineer, Colonel Cannabis. And
the Marijuana Militia.
Absolutely. And don't forget, you can also contact us at the Hemp Rock Hemp Line, 513-684-HEMP, besides this webpage that you're listening to the show on.